Welcome to Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope, where each week you will find yourself feeling loved, inspired, and encouraged in your life. Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope will place a smile on your face and warm the cockles of your heart. Tune in each week, Saturday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and I want to welcome all of you to the show tonight. I'm glad to have you, those who are listening now and on your iPads and switchboard and in the archives as well. My show, if you click the link that I shared with you, you can always listen to it at your leisure by clicking the link. And that'll take you to my show, and you'll be able to listen to it at a later time. I have some announcements I'd like to make, and then we'll get on with the show. I have a sponsor named Dave, and he's Dave Nassine, and he has penned a wonderful book about caregivers, and he also has podcasts. The Caregiver's Caregiver, and he is my sponsor for June of this month in June. So God bless you, Dave, and I appreciate you and thank you so much. You can go to his webpage at www.caregiverscaregiver.com, and you can find his book there that he's done, and you can purchase his podcast if you wish. He's a tremendous addition to this world. I'll tell you, he has a wonderful story I'll be playing for you shortly that really gives insight to caregiving, and he gives very, very good information. Also, I also partner with HopeMail.com with Pearl Huber. She distributes blessing bags to various ministries like my own with backpacks and blessing bags. And right now they're in need of non-gender deodorant, pop-top cans of ravioli, SpaghettiOs, etc. for the month of June. And again, that's HopeMail.com. Check them out. And see the wonderful work they do. Inside the blessing bags are socks and toiletries and food and water, hat, and different things. And in the backpacks, it's more elaborate with a blanket and food and water and different things. But check them out and see if you can volunteer in some way. It would be wonderful to partner with them and see what they do. And even if you can't partner with them, you could certainly pray for them. Prayer is such a powerful tool. So that's HopeMail.com. And, of course, we have in my community, the church near us is Chapel of the Hills Church. And we have Patty Colvin, and she has a wonderful ministry that I partner with her to, MakingItHappenInc.org. They're in need of a van now. Their van broke down. So if you could pray for that, lift that up in prayer, because it's very, very expensive to rent a van every week. And they help a lot of homeless veterans and homeless people and low-income and elderly. So if you could go to MakingItHappenInc.org and contact Patty Colvin and talk to her. Maybe you can donate a van, a good working van, or if you know of someone who might be able to fix the one they have or perhaps purchase another one. And they always need food and non-perishable food items and clothing to hand out to the homeless as well. And they have every Sunday at the church, Chapel of the Hills Church in Sunland on Ora Vista. They have at 4 o'clock, they have a meal for people who are homeless or low income, and they feed them. And then Saturday at 2 o'clock, they have a wonderful food pantry with fresh fruits and vegetables and food to hand out to those who are in need and low income and what have you. We have Chaplain Steve, who's on vacation now, and we'll keep him and his family and pups in prayer as he travels for the next month. And then we also have, lo and behold, last but not least, Mama Joyce's webpage, angelofloveministry.com. So I hope you'll check that out. The links are at the top of the page. And tonight's topic we're going to talk about is what can we do? And boy, do I have a wonderful suggestions for you. Before I get further into the show, I'm going to play this wonderful commercial about Dave Nassine, who has a wonderful caregiving book that he's written, and he's also penned another book is coming out soon. So listen to this wonderful commercial about Dave Nassine, and I hope you'll give him all your prayerful support.
One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships, is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech-impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where, after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships, is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
Thank you, Dave. That was a wonderful commercial, and I definitely support everything Dave does. He's a godly man. He's a brother in the Lord, and he's got a wonderful wife. I met his wife, and I just wanted to share that with you and hope that you will just support Dave and go to his website, caregiverscaregiver.com. I want to welcome all of you once again to the show tonight. And before I go on, I must mention to you that later on this year, hopefully nationwide, there's going to be a wonderful faith-based movie with George Vincent and Rick Irvin called HeavenlyDeposit.com. Go to their website and they can keep you updated. They're working on the film, and I support them 100%, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful faith-based story, and we need more of those in our world. So I hope you'll support HeavenlyDeposit.com and ask to see that movie, especially when it comes out if it's near you. Now, once again, I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. I'm not having the chat room open tonight. I've been having some technical difficulties with it, so rather than frustrate everybody, I am not going to have it. But, of course, you could call on the switchboard if you want to and listen to the show as well, or just go to the website, and you can certainly listen to it on your iPad or on your computer. And having said that, I just once again want to say thank you for coming, and I wanted to share a story with you tonight. There was a dear friend of mine named Don Givens. He was a pastor, and he passed away just before Christmas last year. And I had him on my show, and he penned a book, Storms of Life, by Don Givens. If you go to Amazon, you could check it out and get it. He also was a good friend of Randy Travis, the singer. So very dear soul. And many of you, when I read this to you, it's called The Old Ways. You can really relate to it. A lot of you who are baby boomers can certainly relate, or if you're older than that, fine. But some of you young ones may not be able to relate to some of these things. But anyway, times were much simpler back then, back in the day. And I wanted to share this with you, and then we'll get on more with the show. And I have some audio clips and some wonderful music to share tonight. I've extended my show for 90 minutes. So just to let you know, and at the end of the show, I'll be praying for any prayer needs you might have. And, of course, for all the persecuted Christians in the world as well. Okay, this is called The Old Ways, and there are various authors, but it's adapted by Don Givens, the late Don Givens. God bless him. I like the old ways, when moms and dad loved their families and raised them to be decent and responsible. I like the old ways where young people realized the true value of a good education and brothers went into the army or other honest work. Sisters got married before having children. I like the old ways when crime was not glamorized. Honest hard work paid, and people knew the difference. I like the old ways where moms could cook, dads were loyal to their wives, and children were taught to behave. I like the old ways where husbands were responsible, wives were supportive, and children were polite. I like the old ways where the elderly were respected and the young were valued but not catered to. I like the old ways when women looked like ladies, men looked like gentlemen, and children wore decent, clean clothes and were ashamed to be seen with filthy grunge. I like the old ways where politicians had a sense of responsibility in truly representing the ones who elected them, and presidents were men of character and integrity. I like the old ways when there were genuine patriots who loved America and prayed for God to bless her. I like the old ways when people loved the truth and hated a lie, and they could tell the difference. I like the old ways when most people went to worship and hymns sounded godly. Sermons were biblical, rejoicing sounded normal, and crying sounded sincere. I like the old ways when people actually read the Holy Bible and believed it was exactly that, holy. I like the old ways when cursing was wicked. Filthy language made one ashamed and drugs were for sickness. Yes, I like the old ways when the Star Spangled Banner was honored. America was beautiful and God was welcome. And to be called an American was worth dying for. To be called an American was worth living for. To be called a traitor was a shame. Oh, yes, I know the old ways are gone for most people, but that does not mean I will do my best to stand on solid ground and live like the old ways, not because they are old, but because they are right. And that was by various authors and adapted by Don Givens, the late Don Givens. God bless him. You know, folks, what we can do in this world today is to become known in this world as a product of God's love. And if you want to experience an unconditional love that no matter what happens in your life, you know that somebody loves you. I don't know if any human is capable of unconditional love, but we certainly can strive for it. We could try and practice it. And I have learned over the years, and still learning, I'm constantly learning and growing, to learn about God's love, how he relates to me and how he loves me, even when I make a mistake or I fall, or even when I sin, you know, and I try to admit to that and realize it and turn from it and ask his forgiveness. And of course, before I even ask, he forgives us. You know, I made him my personal Lord and Savior over 37 years ago. And ever since then, I've been growing in the ways of the Lord. I've had some pretty hard times and a lot that my listeners, some of you can relate to. And know that you're not alone. You're not ever alone, and he loves you. You know, there was a time where not too long ago, I was thinking of not doing the show and just kind of giving up. And I know that was the enemy, and Dave was very supportive, and he said, look, Joyce, he said, you pray about this, but I don't believe you're supposed to give up the show. I said, not even just if one person listened, or nobody listened. Just the fact that God is using me. You never know who his words through me will reach. And I want to give every opportunity. I don't want to deny anybody an opportunity to listen to the show and be inspired or encouraged or know that they are very much loved by God and by Mama Joyce. You know, I had worked for 16 years at ARC. Back then it was referred to Activities for Retarded Children, but they don't use those terms anymore. They say Activities and Recreation for Children because they don't want to be offensive and they don't want to, you know, we have developed past that, you know, past those terms. So anyway, one of the precious earth angels, I call them, was Tom Doobie, and he passed away a couple weeks ago, and he was only 52, and he had Down syndrome, and he had a heart attack, but he also had Alzheimer's, and just so precious, just a sweet, sweet young man. And on my Facebook page, I have Seth Harper, who from time to time just drops me a little note and says, I love you. He's so sweet. He's got Williams syndrome, which is very similar to Down syndrome. And I just, you know, to me, we could learn so much from them. They have unconditional love, truly, like God does. If anybody has it close to that, it certainly is these precious angels. and they are very resilient and very loving. And so when I did my 16 years with them, it was a ministry, a labor of love. I felt that I was doing God's work, and I was an extension of His love, and I really gleaned more of it, more than more of it than what they got from me. Truly, I mean, I learned a lot. They were very precious. But I wanted to play this clip for you. It's an audio clip, and these three kids in high school are athletes. They're young fellas, and they have formed the Three Musketeers, so to speak, and they defended a Down syndrome girl from somebody who was being a bully and speaking unkindly of her. And, you know, I don't go for that. I try, if I'm, can I see somebody's being abused or bullied or something, I step in. And if you know anything about me, I'm physically challenged. I don't have a lot of mobility, but I do what I can in my own small way. And it's important to me and very significant to make a positive difference in this world, whatever I can do. And I know God is with me. So I'm going to play this clip for you. And these athletes are defending this little Down syndrome girl. She's a cheerleader. God bless her. So I hope you'll enjoy this story.
After the last few days, we could all use some good news, and that's what the Musial Awards are all about. They take place every year in St. Louis, but the athletes and coaches who get the awards come from all over North America. Tonight in our Making a Difference report, we travel to Wisconsin to meet three of our award winners. They stopped a basketball game to stand up to bullies. There is one road you'll never find on a map of Kenosha, Wisconsin. Easy Street.
Well, it's ordinary people doing the best they can.
But ordinary people can sometimes do extraordinary things.
Whatever you do, Jeremy, love our...
Scooter Terrian, Chase Vasquez, and Miles Rodriguez don't consider themselves anything special.
I can't hear nothing.
But their friendship is. Some even call them the Three Musketeers.
I thought you missed.
You said the Three Musketeers, I said the Three Stooges.
Why are you mad?
Either way, they usually hold court on the basketball court.
Oh, I'm like in the guard position, so I like just having a game in my hand.
Ooh. In fact, ooh, for these three teenagers, there's only one subject they like talking about more than hoops.
Your defense.
And that's girls. And from now on, there will always be one girl that will be the super glue that binds them together. For 15-year-old Desiree Andrews, the world is a stage. Because she has Down syndrome, words can sometimes fail her. So she lets her music and dancing do the talking. That's why her family was thrilled when she was named to the middle school cheerleading squad.
I didn't really have my hopes up that she would get that opportunity. And when she did, I was just like bursting.
That was also a big day for three of her friends, basketball players who in their own way are Desiree's cheerleaders.
Desiree is probably the happiest person I know. She's always smiling every time I see her.
And those smiles must be contagious. Some gyms are named after players, others after coaches. But the gym at Lincoln Middle School became known as Dee's House.
She'd get standing ovations and cheers, and you could yell her name.
When the boys are playing, they're focused on basketball. But during one timeout, they started focusing on something else.
It's like notice it from a distance.
Off to their left, they noticed something wasn't right.
Our coach called timeout, and during our timeout, we noticed that people were bullying Desiree.
As Dee was cheerleading, some kids were heckling.
We looked at it for a while to make sure like we were like seeing it correctly.
Then three boys, known better for taking shots, took a stand. They left the coach's huddle and walked over to the other side of the gym.
It happened so quickly. It was like they didn't hesitate. It was just like immediate. They were over there and making it clear that that wasn't going to happen anymore.
The kids were just looking at us like, what are they doing? Why are they getting off the bench? And then we walked up to them and then we told them to stop doing that. That's not right. And they just shut up.
It was merely three friends sticking up for another friend. And though it took just a moment, it's had a lasting effect.
Well, I think they're heroes. I really do.
It made me feel good. It made me think that, hey, I did something right.
Hopefully, this will set off a wave of other kids trying to do the same thing to protect those that, you know, she's not really able to protect herself.
Is this your favorite movie?
Yeah.
Back in Desiree's room, plastered on the walls are posters of her favorite artists.
We have Katie.
Yeah.
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
And who's
Taylor
that?
Swift.
Taylor Swift.
But there's one item she cherishes more than all the others. A gift from the players she calls her boys.
She talks about them constantly. They signed a basketball for her, and that's her prized possession. I just wanted to let him know, as your father, how much I appreciated it.
Around here, three boys with courage makes a majority.
We hope that people will now know that they could take a stand.
If it wasn't Desiree, if it was somebody else, we would have still did it because it's not right to get bullied.
So the next time you're in Kenosha, don't bother looking for the three Musketeers, because their number is now up to four.
She'll never forget it. I know none of us in my family will forget it. We'll remember forever.
Those four Musketeers will be in St. Louis for the Musial Awards, and so will golfing legend Arnold Palmer. It all takes place on December 5th at the Peabody Opera House. Cardinals manager Mike Matheny will also be there. Tickets available on musicalawards.com.
Isn't that a beautiful story? You know, this is what I'm talking about. You know, what can we do to make a difference in this world? We are called as God's children to make a difference in this world, to make a positive difference. That means to bring love back into the world. God is love, and he loves us so much. And he, you know, there's a lot of times that I've been through things in my life. And it's been very challenging. We all have our crosses to bear. We all have challenges that we face. Sometimes on a daily basis, whether it's fighting cancer or losing a loved one or a job or finances or a home, there's so many different scenarios of things in our world that challenge us. And without God in your life, there's no hope. You can hope in yourself. You can hope in a situation. But those things are temporal. They don't last. They fade away. But when you put your hope in God, that's forever. That's eternal. And that means that when you have a relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ, when you leave this planet and your time is through on this earth, you go to be with God and his son, Jesus Christ, throughout eternity. That's why it's so important that you learn about God, that you learn his attributes and his characteristics, that he will give you understanding. How you do that? By reading the Word, the Holy Bible, and by building your relationship with God and prayer. Prayer is a very powerful tool, believe me, folks. I've been praying for several of my friends lately, and God has really answered prayers on their behalf. And I'm just so thrilled that he hears me pray. He receives my prayer, and he answers, and he acts upon it. And I'm so grateful. I had a dear sister in the Lord, Olivia, that needed to get some glasses today, and she really didn't have a lot of money. And lo and behold, we prayed last night, and God went before her and prepared the way, paved the way. It was only God, because when she got there, it's a very expensive and exclusive eyeglass shop. You know, it's not just a lens crafter place or anything. It's quite extravagant and exclusive. But anyway, she went there, and she had a feeling in her heart and in her spirit that God had something for her today, a blessing. And indeed, he sure did. When she walked in there, and she showed them her glasses, and they said, do you have insurance? And she said, yes. And they said, oh, we accept your insurance, and we will get you everything you need at no charge to you. Now, that is a blessing from God, because she's been in there before, and everything, they've always fixed her glasses, but everything has been so expensive. She was just way out of her price range. So God arranged it ahead of time to have the insurance cover every bit, the exam and everything. It was just a real blessing. And then we prayed for Chaplain Steve, and he's traveling for a month, you know, cross country, and he had a fuel pump break, and it was very easily fixed, and God blessed him because he didn't know what was wrong. And he's traveling, and it's pretty hot these days where we are especially, and so God blessed him, sent him the right fella who knew right what it was, got him the part, and the next day, and they were off on their journey. And just a beautiful answer to prayer. Another friend of mine named Faith, who has a skin condition, and she asked for prayer, and we prayed together and agreed in prayer for healing. And she had a praise report today saying that God had made this condition improved. And just praise God. It's wonderful. It's wonderful what God does, you know. And prayer is such a powerful tool. That's why it's important to get to know God. Because the more you talk to him and the more you pray with a sincere heart, the more he blesses. He may not answer you right away. He may answer you in a week, a year, 10 years, whatever. But just rest assured that whatever you pray, he's working behind the scenes, number one. And number two, if he doesn't give you the desire of your heart, what you're praying for, he'll give you something better. So don't be discouraged if you don't get what you've been praying for a long time, because he sees the whole picture. He sees your whole life, past, present, and future. So that's where trust comes in. And folks, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to trust because we're human and we've been hurt and we don't understand everything completely. So of course we have difficulty in trusting and growing in faith, but he understands that. He understands that. And that's where grace and mercy comes in. So I wanted to share that with you tonight. I'm going to play a beautiful song for you, and I hope you'll enjoy it. This is by... I had a brain burp. This is by Louis Armstrong. There we go. Louis Armstrong. And it's What a Wonderful World. I love him so much. He's got a beautiful heart. They used to call him Satchmo. I don't know if any of you would remember that. Maybe Olivia, you might. And he had such a special voice. And boy, would he when he sang, you know, people listening, it could resonate through you. It just really resonates through you. So I just hope that you'll enjoy this. It's by Louis Armstrong, and it's called "It's a Wonderful This What a Wonderful World."
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I just love Louis, don't you? He's just wonderful. You know, we live in a world today where our nation is divided, actually, and there's a lot of negativity and a lot of division and hatred. And that's why it's so important that I do my show, because I want to encourage and inspire you to develop an attitude of gratitude and love and kindness and forgiveness. It's a choice, people. It's a choice. God doesn't force us into thinking or behaving one way or the other. He lays things out for us, and then he gives us the choice to choose what we want. What I have difficulty understanding is why some people would want to choose hurting others or hating others or destroying people's lives. I never understood that. When I was growing up, we didn't even have to lock our doors. You know, things have evolved and changed with technology and media and news and everything that's going on today. Yes, indeed, it's advanced. But it's also gotten a lot of corruption, and it hurts me, you know. And people say, Joyce, why do you take that personally? Well, you know what? Whatever grieves the heart of God, it also grieves me, because I'm a child of the living God, and I care deeply for what he cares about, you know. And since he's a God of love, you know, I consider myself his love child, and so oftentimes when I see hurtful things that people are doing to each other, it affects me, it hurts me. And I ask God to help strengthen me, because there's times where it really affects me in an adverse way. I'm very sensitive to those who are in need and hurting and need compassion and love. And even those who need mercy and forgiveness and grace. See, God has taught me those things. In my time of need, over my lifetime and some of the things, all the things I've been through, there's been many, many times that God has given me grace and mercy and forgiveness, okay? And those who are forgiven much, love much. So it is that when I reach out and show mercy and grace to someone and forgiveness, I'm doing an extension of God, what he's done in my life, and extending that and sowing seeds of kindness and love and letting God do the rest. So I wanted to share that with you because it's so important. There's so many things. Look, like I said, I've been hurt a lot, and a lot of people have been hurt in our world. I'm sure there's not one person that doesn't go unscathed. You know, they've been hurt by some fashion or form, by a person, a situation, or a disease or something. And God uses every bit of that for good. And how does he do that? Considering some of the things I went through, he has brought me through the situation, and then I'm able to turn around and help somebody else who's hurting, who may not have had somebody to reach out to them and say, I'm here, I want to listen, I love you, and whatever I can do to help. Or maybe they've hurt me and they need forgiveness, and I need to forgive them. These are things that I choose to do, and I'd love to do and be and practice those things and be an extension to all people that way. Not easy. You know, like I said, it's not easy. And sometimes I even fail and fall short. My emotions get in the way or my flesh, and I cry out to God and ask his mercy and forgiveness. Once again, he does that. And so I can extend that experience to somebody else who may not have that love or that forgiveness or that mercy and grace and ear to listen. So I'm so grateful to be used by that way with God. And if that can help you in your walk, that'd be great, because no matter what you're going through in your life, do know that God could use it for your good, and you could turn around and help somebody else with it. I'm going to play this audio for you. At this school, these kids formed a group, and it's nobody dines alone, D-I-N-E. In other words, nobody eats lunch alone. And they formed a group like that. So some of the kids were saying, yeah, I'm so glad they have that group because I'm new at this school and I eat alone. It's the most hurtful thing, you know, to be isolated like that. Or they may not even have a lunch to eat, you know, just isolated. So I do want to play this clip for you, and I hope you'll enjoy it. No one eats alone.
We end the week at a school where lunchtime is for filling the spirit. Here's Steve Hartman on the road.
When the lunch bell rings at Boca High in Boca Raton, Florida, 3,400 kids spill into the courtyard and split into their social groups.
What's up?
But not everyone gets included. Here at Boca High and at schools across the country, someone always sits alone.
It's not a good feeling, like you're by yourself, and that's something I don't want anybody to go through.
Dennis Esteban is a Haitian immigrant. When he came here in first grade, he says he felt isolated, especially at lunch. Now he's a senior. He's popular, but he has not forgotten that first grade feeling.
To me, it's like if we don't try and go make that change, who's going to do it?
So with some friends, Dennis started a club called We Dine Together.
We dine.
Together.
We dine.
Together.
We dine.
Together.
Their mission is to go into the courtyard at lunchtime to make sure no one is starving for company.
Dennis.
I'm new here.
You're new here? When did you first come here?
For new kids especially, the club is a godsend.
This is Gabriel.
Gabe, how you doing?
Since it started last fall,
Brazilian.
Hundreds of friendships have formed. Some
very unlikely.
You're probably meeting kids you never would meet on the football team.
Ever.
Gene Max Merridew actually quit the football team, gave up all the perks that come with it, just so he could spend more time with this club.
I don't mind not getting a football scholarship. This is what I really want to do.
Just imagine how different your teenage years would have been.
What's your name?
If the coolest kids in school all of a sudden decided you mattered.
We get to know each other better.
It obviously takes a lot of empathy to devote your lunch period to this.
Yes.
Either that or firsthand experience.
I went from coming from a school that I always had friends to coming to where I had nobody, so.
Club member Allie Seeley transferred 2 years ago. She says with no one to sit next to, lunch can be the most excruciating part of the day.
I think it's really unfair. It's honestly an issue. Meeting someone who actually cares and listens to what you have to say really makes a difference. And that could happen at lunch. That could happen at our club. It's going to make a difference.
And not just here at Boca High.
Yeah, I'll be around tomorrow if you want to eat lunch together or something.
Dennis and his team are now trying to open chapters of We Dine Together at schools across the country. And maybe when they're done showing kids how to make outsiders feel accepted, they can teach us adults, too. Steve Hartman on the road in Boca Raton, Florida.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? If we could have more of our children behave in such a manner, boy, we could change the world, you know, one person at a time. Once again, I want to announce that there's no chat room tonight. We've had some technical difficulty, and Drew, I understand you're listening. And hey, Chaplain Steve, you made time for the show a little bit there. That's great. I'm extending it till 8:30 tonight, which is about 40 more minutes. So welcome to the show. I'm glad you came tonight. And I wanted to mention at this time that, you know, when I was growing up and in school, I was bullied a lot. I had a lot of people who bullied me, and I didn't stand up for myself. And nobody stood up for me or took up for me. And it was very hurtful. There was times when I was 7 years old, if you'll believe this or not, I don't know if you will, but it's true. Oftentimes I would sit on the porch of my house as a little girl and cry out to Jesus and talk to Jesus, which is just almost like a miracle because I was Jewish and they didn't speak of Jesus in my home. But He drew me to himself. That's the way I figured. He had a plan for my life, and I came from a very abused background because my mother had mental illness. And so I went through a lot, you know, and I didn't have anybody to help me. And then when I was 16, the state came in and took me away and put me in a foster home because of the abuse and neglect that I received from the hands of my poor mom. She's passed away since 1997, and but long, long ago I forgave her and tried to win her to Christ, and only Christ knows for sure that he has, you know, accepted her into heaven. But I have great confidence that she did accept Jesus on her deathbed and go home with him. But, you know, a lot of times, folks, I think that if people have mental illness or something that impairs them to where they can't comprehend things, that God gives grace and mercy if they don't have an understanding. So there was times, like I said, in my life that I didn't understand why those things happened to me or where God was. There was nobody as an advocate for me until I was about 16, like I said, and I went to a foster home. And I was there for about 6 months and graduated high school and aged out of the system, what they call aged out. And I started working at a shoe store for $1.65 an hour. And ever since, I've been on my own. And, you know, I did wonder. There was times I wondered where God was in my life, and I didn't have a good support system. And all the things that I never had in my life growing up, I became for somebody else, if that makes sense to you. If somebody, for instance, I lacked the healthy kind of love and support that I needed and nurturing to grow up and compassion and understanding. So all those things that I needed myself, I became for somebody else in need. And that helped me heal, and it also helped me to help that person. So I feel very blessed that even though I went through a lot of hardships and a lot of things, challenges in my life, that God ultimately uses those for good. Even today, there's still healing that needs to be done in my life, and it's a constant thing. It's an ongoing thing. But God uses every bit of it, everything that's happened to me, to help somebody else, and that makes me feel so good. I feel so blessed to be used by the Lord that way, because sometimes my mobility is cut way back, so I'm not able to get out into the community and do the things I used to do for over 35 years. I used to, like I said, teach special needs adults for those 16 years, and I would gather food and clothing and distribute them into the community almost on a daily basis and go out into Skid Row and pray with people to receive Christ. So God really has used me over the years, but it's been scaled way down. So I thought to myself, well, you know, I got the radio show, and you never know who's listening, and you never know who will reach, who will need a message of hope. So I praise God for this radio show, and I'm glad he can use me and that he gets all the glory, and he is glorified. So I hope you enjoyed that clip, that audio clip, because I'll tell you something. We all need God and his son, Jesus Christ. And we all need to love one another and help each other and learn to forgive and not go around pointing the finger and judging people and being hurtful. Those things have to cease if we're going to see a change in our world. Well, I'm going to play this wonderful song for you. And it's by Jackie D. Shannon, a little musician in my day. And it's called What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. Remember that? And boy, don't we ever, folks?
What the world needs now is love. Only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. To climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world is now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine.
Isn't it beautiful? And it's so true. What the world needs now is definitely love. We need love. And God is love, like I said. You know, I hope that there's enough people in the world, and respectively in the United States of America, that can tip the scales and bring love back into our world and to offset all the hate and the hurting of each other. You know, when we had that congressional baseball game and how everybody, Democrats and Republicans and everybody came together and they prayed together and they were in unity. Why, my question to everyone is, why do we have to wait for some tragedy or something like that to happen? You know, we don't have to. That's why I don't know. Like I said, I know God uses me, but I don't see a lot of the fruits or anything, and it's not for me to see. And I'm not doing it for accolades or for to see my fruit or anything like that. I'm not. But I do want to see more people choose to bring love back into the world. And I would love to see that I'm reaching people that are hungry and thirsty to know God and his ways. Because, you know, we need hope in our world, and the only way we're going to get it is through a relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ. So we need to really step out there and do what we can. There's so many ways we can make ourselves available. When you see somebody sitting alone, somebody hurting, maybe at work or at a park, or someone's hungry or someone is thirsty, and you have it by you to offer and assist them, do it. You know, there's the suicide rate is so much higher now than it has been, especially amongst our youth. It's a very stressful time in our nation, and we need God to come back and breathe on us. And I, like I said, I hope there's enough of us in this world, and especially in the United States, who can and choose to bring love back into the world. You know, it's so important to make ourselves available to people. You know, there's stories. Why not bring the stories to the forefront and the limelight of people doing acts of kindness and love and forgiveness and understanding and helping each other? All we see on the news is the hatred and the hurting of each other. You know, let's see people more come together in unity and put our differences aside and start praying for one another and love each other and be kind to one another and forgive people and quit pointing the finger and saying ill and bad things that don't edify and that don't build people up, but instead tear them down. It's so important, people, that we make a difference in that way. And please, I'm petitioning you, I'm asking you, I'm begging you to please search yourself in your heart and bring out the goodness that's in you, because everybody has goodness. Sometimes you got to dig a little deep, but it's there. And start making a difference in doing what's good in the world instead of what's all the hurt. Look, people, like I said, there's been people who've hurt me, and I could have become bitter and nasty and rotten and maybe well within my rights because I was mistreated and misunderstood and hurt, but I chose not to. And because I had the conscious effort and chose not to do those things and be bitter and hurtful and lash out, God has blessed me for it. And I'm able to turn around, and if somebody's been hurt and they get bitter, and I pray for them, if they don't listen, yeah, I never force myself on anybody. I don't believe in that. I know Jesus didn't do it either. He gave us guidance and direction. He gave us his word, and he was a living example, and he let the people make up their minds themselves. You know, it's up to you to do. But I just love people so much, and I love God so much that I don't want to see anybody perish, and neither does he. So that's why it's so important that I use my show for those things, you know. And I hope that you'll have the desire and the hunger to do good in this world and to love and help people. This next clip I'm going to play for you is a man who he has built up his life with monetary gain, okay, but he's not into materialism. He did wise real estate deals and stuff, and I want you to know this young man, that, well, he's not so young, he's around my age, maybe a little younger, but he helps a lot of people. He's spending a fortune on the less fortunate, and I'd love for you to hear this clip.
We end the week with a man who made a fortune selling pieces of the earth, but to hear Steve Hartman tell it, he may have a place up in heaven as well. Steve met him on the road.
If Jesus were to come back, would it be as a real estate broker in Wisconsin? Probably not. But Lord knows, this bearded man in white, burning the midnight oil, sure fits the bill more than anyone I've ever met.
We have to love one another and take care of each other. That's what it's about.
Sal DiMaselli is poring over the dozens of letters he gets every week asking for help. They're from poor people in need of minor miracles, mostly, like getting their furnace fixed or a utility bill paid so they can have their gas turned back on. Sal makes it happen using donations and a lot of his own money, and then tells the stories in a local newspaper column he writes called The Time Is Now to Help.
The whole siding is off that side.
His latest tip brought him to this should-be-torn-down trailer.
I thought, there can't be people living in here. All of a sudden, I heard little children inside. My heart just sunk.
Six of them, as we learned, each more adorable than the next.
Hi.
They belong to Henny Acup and her boyfriend.
You cold, sweetie?
The only heat they get is from the electric stove. Yet Henny says she didn't write a letter. Somebody else must have.
Never realized that you were like those people in the articles?
Not really. I feel lucky.
You feel lucky?
Yeah, I feel like just having my family, and they're all loving and caring.
All the more reason for Sal to want to help, although his main motivation is much more personal.
Take me back to when you were a little boy.
I remember being evicted, evictions coming in.
Evictions?
Evictions. We were like gypsies.
And poverty chased them to every new address.
I made a promise to God that I would never forget these roots.
Eventually, Sal, who owns the real estate company, became a multi-millionaire. Although, according to his bookkeeper and wife, Corrine, Sal has given away almost all of it. $4 million and counting.
Yeah, I worry sometimes, but there's no convincing him.
It gets contagious. You want to do it again and again. This is the van.
Over the last 20 years, Sal's helped about 20,000 people.
Here's the master bedroom here.
Today, it's Henny and her boyfriend, Tim.
New toaster.
Who, thanks to Sal, are now in a new, completely furnished apartment.
This isn't what you were expecting?
I don't even know.
Who knows how much longer Sal can afford to keep doing this.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you.
If only hugs were dollars, it wouldn't be an issue.
Thank you so much.
If only there were more Sals in the world, there wouldn't be a need. Steve Hartman, on the road, in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Isn't that beautiful? I love messages of hope like that. You know, he's just one person. He happened to have a lot of revenue. But he also got donations. It wasn't just all on him. He did get donations. And you don't have to make a difference like that. You know, although he did a fantastic thing, he's helping over 20,000 people, which is just marvelous. Like, I can use my show and, you know, and reach hopefully many people and inspire and encourage them that way. Or I can reach out to you who are listening now and in the archives and inspire and encourage you to be that extension. And like I said, it doesn't have to take money at all. It could be your time. You know, it can be maybe you are able to go in your house and get some gently used clothing or blankets that are in good shape and share those with somebody in need. Or if you have a skill of carpentry or something, maybe you can help a neighbor that is down on their luck and they need something fixed and they're not able to get it fixed. You know, or even if you own a company, you know, you can help somebody with maybe their air conditioning or their landscaping or something, or dry rot, whatever it is, you can make a difference. And it doesn't always have to cost money. But we need to bring love back into our world. You know, I only have about 20 or 25 minutes left on my show. I have extended it, like I said. But I want to always save a time for prayer. And if anybody has a prayer need, do feel free to let me know, and I'll be glad to pray for you. But like I said, I don't need to know who you are or what your need is, but I do lift people up to the Lord who are in need. And God knows, his eyes go all over the earth, and he sees who needs prayer and what they need. And some people are not even capable of praying, and especially I lift those ones up. So I'm going to take a little time tonight, and I'm going to lift up people in prayer, especially all the persecuted Christians in the world. And anybody who needs prayer tonight and has maybe a unspoken request, or those who are listening in the archives or now, I will lift you up as well. But I'm going to name some people also, and you know, as I pray, and also just rest assured that if I don't get to your name, that God knows who you are, and I'll lift up whatever needs that you may have that God knows. I'd be glad to do that. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, I lift up these precious ones in prayer first for Dave and Eric and Nikki and Olivia and Chaplain Steve and Drew and Chris and Tom Duby and Barry and Jacob and Ralph and Val and Gerardo's wife and Chaplain Steve and my dad and all the dads in the world and our military, our vets, and our Native Americans and Henry and Jerusalem and Sharon and Faith and Lee and Martha and Diane, and all our precious homeless and our vets and military and our firefighters. And Father God, Cynthia and Helen and all of our loved ones, Father, and especially those who are affected by war and poverty and hunger, especially in the United States. And Father, help us to keep our focus on you and help all these ones. I pray for their salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, and safety and provision, Father. You know what they have need of, all these precious ones that I've mentioned and those who are needing prayer, and you know their names and you know their needs, Father, and I lift them up to you as well tonight. And I ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit, Father, and meet their needs and show yourself, reveal yourself to them in a very concrete manner, Father God, that you pour out your Ruach HaKodesh, which is Hebrew for the Holy Spirit, and meet their needs, Father. Show yourself mighty on their behalf. And make yourself real to them, Father. Thank you, Father, with deep gratitude for your mercy and grace in our time of need. And help us to be an extension of your love to all people. Help us to be the light unto the nations. Help us to not be a candle that is hidden with the light, but to be a light to all the nations, Father, and to be an extension of your love and your truth to all. Meet our needs, Father. A lot of us are afflicted in body, and it's hard to get through just each day, Father. And I lift those special ones up to you tonight, and I ask that you reach from heaven and touch them. And Father, we know that you have a special plan for everybody's life, and that we need to trust you in a deeper way and have faith, and that you go before us, put all the crooked places straight, that you reach from heaven and put a hedge of protection around each one of us and our loved ones as we go in from day to day, and bring more love back into the world and move in the hearts of people to want to bring love, Father, and tip the scales back and take the reins away from the enemy, Father, and cause people, show yourself mighty. Show yourself mighty. When Peter prayed and 3,000 had the Holy Spirit fall on them, Father, I'm asking for revelation. I'm asking for revelation in the United States especially, Father, and all over the world. Please breathe love back into our lives. And, Father God, save our nation and heal it. And we praise you, Father, and we give you all the glory. All the glory goes to you and the gratitude, Father. Thank you once again for this opportunity to use my program for your glory, that you put your words in my mouth and your thoughts in my mind, and your love in my heart for all people. And we praise you and give you the glory in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And I hope that ministered to you. And I just want you guys to know I love and appreciate you for all those who are listening, and that I hope you were inspired or encouraged, even a spark in your lives. And Chap, I know you're listening, and I hope you have the best time on your vacation, and that no more crises and no more breaking downs or anything, that you just thoroughly enjoy your trip, because you certainly deserve it. And for Drew and Chris and Olivia, everybody who's listening, Barry and Jacob and all of you, Henry, whoever is listening to the show tonight, God bless you all. I love you all so much. Listen, I'm going to play this song for you, and it's a very special song. It's, I believe, back in the 70s. And it was about helping Africa, but actually what it is we're going to help the world, not just Africa, not just the United States, but the world. Because why? We are the world. And this song, I hope it really ministers to you. And I love you with all my heart, and enjoy this next song, We Are the World. just remember we are the world and we come together as one in unity in Christ Jesus. So I have a homework assignment for all of you who are listening. I want you to go on YouTube, go to your Bible, and look up ways to be a blessing to somebody. And listen to all the uplifting stories on YouTube and the wonderful ways that God works in our lives through the Bible. And get inspired and encouraged. And start doing, becoming an active part of bringing love, God's love back into this world. And then, after you start doing these wonderful random acts of kindness and love, the way God teaches us and extends it to us so we can share it with others, I want you to come and share your stories on Mama Joyce's Messages of Hope. It's very, very important that you do that because people need to hear that there are stories of love and kindness and understanding and forgiveness in our world, and tip the scales back from all the negative and the other stuff that we hear. So I only have about 5 minutes left, and I'm going to play this last song for you. And back in the day in the 70s, there was a group called the Young Bloods, and they would sing about loving one another and getting together and enjoying each other's company and helping each other and loving one another. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this song, and just want to thank each and every one of you who came tonight, Chaplain Steve and Drew and Chris and Olivia and Henry and Barry and Jacob, all of you who came tonight, and those who are listening in the archives, all of you, and those who I don't know you by name. And I just ask special blessings on you in the week ahead and safety and protection and everything good. So I praise God for all of you, and I love you. And this is our song to take us out, is Get Together by the Young Bloods.
Love is but a song we sing, fears we will die. You can make mountains ring, or make angels cry. Though the bird is on the wing, and you may not know. Try to love one another right now.
Happy, make just one someone happy, make just one heart to heart you sing to one smile that cheers you, one face that lights when it nears you, one girl you're everything. If you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. And you will be happy too.
Thank you all once again for coming, and make sure you come next Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. God bless you, be safe, and have a blessed weekend. And happy Father's Day to all the dads.